Hey guys, my name is Fola Showa and you're welcome to the Couples Start Podcast. I'm so excited you landed here. On the Couples Start Podcast, we talk about life, love, faith, relationships, and bants of various kinds. We are here to learn, have fun, and enjoy our journey to becoming. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Couples Start Podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to another episode of the Couple Start Podcast. If you're new here, you, my darling, are most welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back. Today's episode will be a continuation of our Is Love Ever Enough series. I bet you enjoyed the last episode and you want more. So yes, as the sweet girl that I am, I'm here to give you more. Enjoy this episode and don't forget to tell your friends about the Couple Start Podcast. Bye!
I just want to move on using like examples from your book, Sour Grapes. So please, guys, if you've not read Sour Grapes, it's available on Amazon, Roving Heights, and Okada Books. You can just check it out. It's really, really nice. And yeah. So majorly, the book was talking about postpartum depression and how Oreoluwa King was dealing with it, because majorly it was from her past that is now affecting her present. I hope that makes sense. So my question now is, how much of your partner's past do you need to know? Or do we even need to know your partner's past and all? Or if it affects the relationship? Yeah.
Okay. That's a tricky question. You know, but I don't think, and again, this is my opinion, I could be wrong, but yeah. From my opinion, I don't think it's every part of your past. In fact, I don't even think it's possible for someone to know every part of your past, because imagine you get married in maybe, let's use you're 25 when you get married. Mm. That's 25 years. How do you want to pack 25 years into you get
how many years of dating?
Years of dating, you know. Even right now, my husband and I have been dating, I'm married. There are still some things I don't know. There are still some things you mention. I'm like, oh, really? And vice versa. There are some things I'll say as well. I say, oh, I didn't know that, really.
Yeah.
You know, so you probably still discover things, but what me I think is that it should flow, you know. So you should be the one to choose, not even choose really, it should just be like, and that's why friendship is important in relationship.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're sitting yourself down and saying, today, excuse me, our topic is on past. tell you my past. You know, but
yes,
with time things will come. You just say, maybe you talk about a topic now. And yeah. You say, oh, that reminds me. Do you know when blah 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 this thing happened? Mm. You know, but the things that people say when they say you have to tell your partner past is maybe things that, you know, will affect your marriage, things that maybe will affect your background, things that maybe explain. For example, if you have some fears and you have some reservations or things like that, and it was because of what happened in your past, things like that, or even some character traits, maybe the person is trying to understand that, why do you always act like this? Why are you like this? And then you try to, not giving excuses, but just trying to explain that, oh, in my house, so while I was growing up, oh, this is how we used to do it. Maybe that's why this is like this, but people don't do it like that, something like that, you know. So if there are major issues in your past that will affect your marriage, those are the ones that you need to clear, you need to talk about, you need to, yes, you know. But other than that, I don't think this interview or a Q&A session, naturally come out after you've taken care of the initial, the important ones, you know, maybe the where did you grow up, where did you go to school, how many kids, your family, the normal background check, you know. You don't really need to go into every it's supposed to come out as you guys go in relationship, and you can't know everything about somebody, even those that dated for 8 years, 10 years before getting married. I doubt
they know,
because like I said, that a lot of years, I mean, lots of memories. Some things that you yourself may not even remember.
Yeah, well, you guys see that too.
Or you watch something, you know, I'm like, ah, this even reminds me, you know. So
yeah,
I just, you know, and I think, and then maybe you also know the type of person you are dating as well. You know, is this person a sensitive person? Okay. You probably have to wait till you have some issues or some parts of your past that you know that you have to check to see when is my partner comfortable? When do you think he can handle the truth? You know, it's not, there are some things that you don't just bombard someone with immediately.
Yeah.
And when I react, you now be like, oh, you never did love me. But you didn't check. That's why emotional intelligence is very important. Can this person handle this truth that I'm telling them? If you see that this is an area that is sensitive for this person, yeah, then you probably need to look for a way to so you're not just coming on, maybe someone that you know, the same issue that you had, it was something that caused him pain in the past or something like that. Okay, let's use rape as an example. Maybe you were raped, then it was something that happened to a sister, something like that. I don't know why women are so touchy about rape. I was raped now and nothing, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You didn't approach it the right way. It would be sensitive. And people probably look at you like, why are you thinking it this way? Are you okay? And things like that. So you probably need to find a way to talk about, and that's just an example, you know. So whatever you see, that's why you shouldn't rush into, you need to first examine, you need to understand the person. And the good thing, that I feel about this examining someone first is that at the end of the day, you don't want to have given someone all the nitty-gritty, all the sordid details of your past
life.
And then in another 3 months, you guys are over. You know, so if you do that in the, although I feel some people feel like it's better to just get it all out there in the open, no, and know if I'm moving forward or not, so that I'll not waste my time. But then, how many people get it all out there in the open? Get all out there in the open, it's Mr. A, you go, Mr. B, everybody knows now, you know. So, but if you checked through the friendship, maybe you guys are still friends and still talking, so you already know, okay, this even the kind of person I think I want to have something with before you now start bringing up details of your past. Hey, it's better even you yourself before you tell someone that there's a level of there's a level of confiding that you can do with me. You know, you don't know me so well, so you can't just come and start telling me every stuff. I'm just coming, do you know that when I was in primary school, XYZ happened to me? You know, it would be strange. I probably
What are you doing?
So you also even need to test, see how you people are. This one is not even just marriage and relationship. I do it a lot when I meet people. So I feel like they have to be comfortable with me to a certain extent before they can review.
Yeah.
Before you can review certain parts about them. And when they say it, I respect it. And then I decide as well, do I want to reciprocate the openness or do I still feel, no, I don't think I'm there yet. And it's fine, really. So these are some of the things you need to check. Not just relationship now, but generally. Some people are just weird. The way they just come at you and say, what did you do? How did you get? And then they're just probing and you're wondering, guy, come
what's
on,
up?
We're not asking. Yes, exactly. I don't see you as, you're not my friend like that. I don't think having this kind of conversations, you know. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I understand that fully. Okay, now I'm on the flip side, we're in the relationship, and probably you didn't tell me, okay, maybe I was raped, but you didn't tell me about it and all. And then something about it is affecting the relationship. How should the partner or how should it be handled?
I would say, okay, so let me get the scenario painted again. Okay. You guys are already in a relationship.
Yes.
And then maybe there's some...
Hello?
...about that is now affecting... Is that the scenario?
I didn't get it. I think the network was glitching.
Oh, okay. I said, so you said you are now in the relationship.
Yes.
But there's something that you about that is now affecting the relationship negatively. Is that what is that the scenario you painted?
Yeah. Yes. So how should we be
Well, I think for that, you probably need to check and see, okay, what were the reasons? Why didn't you? And then, you know, I already said before that there are some issues already that, you know, that because these ones are major and they can affect the relationship and everything that you need to come out with it. It's just that you need to know a way to go about it, right?
Yeah.
So for the one that, you, okay, so now you're not in the relationship, it's possible that the person may feel betrayed and feel like, oh, why didn't you tell me early enough? Or exactly, especially since it's now something that is affecting your relationship. So you need to check. You need to check within yourself. Okay, what were the reasons? Why didn't I say this thing? And really, I don't think that is a timing again, but then it depends on who you are with. Does the person understand that, oh, I just needed more time? I just needed to be a bit more comfortable with you, or this isn't something that is easy for me to talk about. Because I mean, if you're raped, you don't just tell every person you meet, every person the next day, oh, by the way, do you know I was raped? That's information to go about. It's not sensitive. You know, it takes a while. Some people never ever open up. Never. You read stories that they'll tell you that even their mom didn't know. Even the people around them didn't know. And I'll tell you that it was until I grew up, it was until after I had my first child that I just opened up to my mommy. So you can imagine the weight of that kind of thing that the person is carrying about. So I think the burden will be on the partner. While you feel like, oh, I think this person should have opened up, but you also need to understand, okay, so why didn't she? What was the person trying to, what was the intent? You know, I'm not excusing those that have ill intent. So there are some people that their intentions are bad, no, but someone that you know genuinely, first, you know that this person truly loves me, this person is truly committed to this relationship. So for something like this to have happened, there has to have been reasons. So you now try to find out what were those reasons, what happened, why is I won't say it would just happen like that, especially because when you're hurt, you know, that's not what you want to be doing. Therapist or emotion, you probably have to first deal with your own heart. But most importantly, while doing that, probably understand that, you know, this person didn't intend it for bad. You know, that's the thing with relationship, because relationship has to do with a lot of trust. You need to know, even when me and my husband are fighting sometimes, when you have issues, in my head, I'm like, I know the intention. I know that I'm probably just a misunderstanding or a miscommunication issue that we are having. You know, it doesn't mean that he didn't mean to. He may have hurt me with his actions, but it wasn't like he woke up this morning and said you know what's on the agenda for today.
I want to attack my wife. Yeah.
You know, it just maybe as things happened, it has to be unintentional. Yeah. You know, that he may not even know. That it may have to be, maybe when you notice a change in your countenance and then say, what's up, what's wrong with you, and things like that. Or did you know that what she did, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. And you say, I didn't know, okay. I apologize or something like that. So I think that's the same way to go about this. If he has to see someone, he has to talk to someone else. Again, I always stress the people you are talking to, make sure that they are, because there are some people you speak to and they just feel what it's supposed to, you know, there's a way you, if there's a fire, there are two things you can do. You can add fuel to it and then it starts burning really early, or you can water and then, you know, you put it out. So you have to be sure that the person you're talking to is not doing, and then again, it may not be the person's fault. You know, I always try to look at both sides of everything. It may just be that maybe their own background as well, they are biased towards that particular issue, or they are sentimental. So if possible, while you are not trying to spread your partners, and that's another thing, you probably need to find out if this person is comfortable with you speaking to other people. Because if this is their truth and they are sensitive about it, they may not want you to talk about to other people, except if you are using anonymity. You know, you're not telling them that it's your own situation. Maybe you are finding a way around it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's important to first know if they want to hear before you now start speaking. And then you may need to seek more than one opinion. Because like I said, if person A is biased about it, person two may not be. And for those ones that are Christians, you know, or even Muslim, whatever religion you practice, you may also want to pray about it. And it's not every issue that should break a relationship. There are some that, you know, obviously would break the relationship, especially if those things are deal breakers. But there are some that if you look at these, it may take time to walk through and things like that. But at the end of the day, you guys are able to come back strong, better. You know? So I think that's how the issue should be handled. Really.
Thank you so much for that. Moving on, I would want to ask, like, what is the place of forgiveness in a relationship? Forgiveness, the deep word. Because in a relationship, it's not a walk in the park. There's sometimes that you would fight, you would argue, you would have quarrels and everything. So yeah, what is the place of forgiveness?
I would say that forgiveness is it plays a really, really, really huge role, you know. And you may not even understand this until relationship is a big, you know, relationship is like maybe you're in university and the marriage is when you've graduated and you're now in the real world, you know. But it's always good to practice even from relationship, because when you get married, you probably have to forgive. I think that's for those that are Christians, when Jesus was saying that you should forgive 70 times 7 a day, he knew what he was talking about, because you would just always have to. And the truth is that forgiveness is something that I even still struggle with, you know, because I can be, and this my temperament, or I don't know if it's my personality, and I'm this kind of person that when someone hurts me, you know, I withdraw. And I'll start thinking, but this person claims to love me. Love me. Even while at the back of my head, I'm trying to say, I didn't mean it. I'm like, but why would you do something like that? You know, so I tend to dwell, and then I'll start brooding. And then from there, other things, you know, maybe from the fact that I'm a writer. So, you know, writers, our imagination run wild. A lot of things will now come again, and I start thinking, maybe it's because of what happened that day that he now thinks I can do this, and then maybe because of corner that has happened. So, you know, I'll just really be connecting, and I can just be there in my head and 200 things away from what happened in the beginning has joined and connected and all of that, you know. And the more that happens, the harder it will be for you to forgive, the more the hurts will be. But the truth is that, and this is what I heard a lot, even when we're doing counseling, even when, you know, after marriage and people give you advice, people tell you that you just need to learn to forgive. You need to learn to forgive over and over again. If possible, forgive in advance. Make excuses for the person, you know. So I'll just say that forgiveness is not it's not something that happens in one day. You know, it's not something, some people do it better than others. Some people are more forgiving than others. Why? For some people, they struggle with it. They have to consciously work on it and themselves and say, okay, I want to learn to forgive more. I want to learn to do better. And I think another thing that happens is that when you feel like, well, I've already told this person that I like XYZ, I don't like BCD. So why does this person keep doing BCDs? In those kind of instances, it may be difficult for you to forgive, because you may be tempted to feel like, at this point, I'm certain that purpose. He just wants to annoy me, because I can't have told you over and over again that don't do BCD and you keep doing it. You know, so I think those are some of the things that also, and then your temperament again. There are some people that if you do something to them now, and they talk about it, that's it. They've gotten it off their mind. Oh. Like they meet you immediately and they confront you and say, you know what? What she did to me yesterday.
I didn't like blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. And that's it. They started playing again before, forgotten about it. There are some people that are more, maybe like me now, that they withdraw and I start thinking and I start wondering and I start worrying. It may take a while, you know, before they're now eventually forgive. You know, there are some people that don't even have to keep malice at all. Once they notice that, what happened? Do we have issues? Are you okay? What's the problem? You know, so I just know that forgiveness is, it has to be a work in progress, depending on wherever you find yourself, whichever of the personality you think you have, you know, you may need to work on it. And even if you think you're a forgiving person, when you get married or sometimes when you're in a relationship, it even tests you more. So you need to still work on it and still try to be even more forgiving of someone. And when I say make excuses for the person, not make excuses for some things that, again, I keep saying, it's not the one that someone will punch you and you're making excuses for the person. It's just
angry. It was angry.
Exactly. Those are not the kind of excuses, but they're just some things that you know that, okay, it's not that the person meant to do it. It's just because of maybe miscommunication or this one. Hey, no, not all those extreme things, but yeah, forgiveness, it's something that we all need to learn, we all need to work on, we all need to. And then again, like I say, you don't have to wait till you get married. You can even start from your relationships, you can start from your friendships. Nothing has to do, because even in friendship, we still love, is a form of love as well, you know, with your siblings. Think about the fact that over time, you've had to forgive your siblings. They've annoyed you.
Of course.
They don't think, what will you do? That you get angry, you will fight for a while, but yeah, you guys will
okay.
And move on, you know. So it doesn't always have to be tied. And I think these are the it's just like the preparatory classes, let me just put it that way. So the way you handle some of those relationships, for me, I would say there was a time when after school and everything, me and my siblings, we all stayed together, we're no longer with our parents. Then I think that time was instrumental to helping me a bit, you know, helping me before, because initially when they do something to annoy me, I would just go and pack my bag and be like, sorry. Okay, I'll just go and pack my bag and be like, that's it. I'm going to my friend's place, or I'm going away from the weekend. And the funny thing is that the people that are annoying me will not be like, I'm not going anywhere. Come and sit down. They would have just probably insulted me and said all sorts of things, and they'll still come and kind of like, where do you think you're going? We are all going to stay here together. But I mean, that's a good thing. Then it didn't seem like it was a good thing. In fact, the point I was like, oh God, why are you making me stay with these people? I want to go and stay away from them. I want to just testing me there, but that's it. They have to test you to build you up. So yeah. Now there's a level of thing. There's a level of something that someone would do to me outside that will make me get upset. I'll just look at you.
What have I not seen before?
Do you get? So that actually helped. That time in my life, because then, so I used to think about it, okay, so when you marry now and your husband annoys you, the shit you carry your bag and say, where are you going to, you know? And really, so those are the things. I think before you get married, even before you get into a relationship, use some of these things. Use them as like your training. Use your church relationships, you know. Those ones too, you have issues, especially for those that belong in units. Issues will come. So the way you resolve them, the way you forgive, the way you let go. And then if for some reason you feel like you are not forgiving, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're a bad person. Maybe you look at someone and say, I like the way this person is so quick to forgive. Doesn't mean I'm a bitter person, the way I take time to forgive. No, that's why I use myself as an example. You know, for me, my husband is like the opposite. He'll just do something to him now after a while. He has gotten over it. He has moved on again. But for me, you know, I take my time. I brood. I wonder. I plan. Like I plan revenge. I'm like, I'll do my own back. It's because you don't have issues. That's why you're doing it. You know, things like that. So
yeah.
I think it's important to just know that we are different. Our level of tolerance is different, and the way I can forgive is different from the way someone else will. So you don't need to feel bad. And in everything, you just probably just need to just pray and ask for more grace and say, oh God, I really want this. I have, there are times when I've prayed, when I've told God, I want to be a better spouse. Just help me. And it works. You know, I want to be more patient. I want to be more loving. I want to be more understanding, things like that. So I think whatever you think you lack. And then, as I've heard, is when you now pray for that thing, that it's be like the test will now come. So you also have to be ready for the test. But just know that they are building you, really.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for that. God, this has been so amazing. I've been enjoying myself. I've been learning. And thank you. Thank you so much. So from the topic, I don't know if you have any other thing you'd like to say, like to tell us. Yeah, majorly.
Well, I know that we have said a lot. Yes. We have covered a lot, you know, and maybe I would just like to speak to the people that are anxious, because I know people can be anxious. You know, maybe you are wondering, oh, why am I not in a relationship? Or why can't I keep a relationship? Maybe you've read all these different books and you've listened to podcasts, and you say, I've done all the things they said I should do. I've prayed, I've fasted, nothing is happening, you know. I just like to say that don't pressure yourself unnecessarily. You know, the Bible says that it makes all things beautiful in its time. I think that I can, using myself as an example, I can say that that is the truth, because you know, let me just share this. I was actually engaged to get married in 2018, you know, but it didn't work out. Like, when I say engaged, we had done the, we had proposed, had accepted, I was literally wearing a ring, and well, at least started some marriage talks before the whole thing ended then. And I remember that my mom was upset, and she was telling them, especially because I was the one that ended things, you know, so my then fiance would speak to my mom and tell them, speak to my sister and say, he doesn't understand, doesn't know what's wrong with me and things. And even myself, you know, it wasn't like I totally understood, because people would look at you and they're like, oh my God, you're so strong to do something like that with the pressure and blah, 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 blah. And the funny thing is, before then, I just realized that I was telling God that, you know, that particular year, I already said, if I don't get married this year, I'm not going to save again. No, you know what I mean? God, I'm not going to save again. I'm not going to bother and say I'm keeping myself or anything like that. I'm just going to go into the world. Funny, think about it, but I was just kind of like frustrated in a way. And that's why I say I can understand people that may be in that position right now, you know. And I was just like, it has to be this here or nothing, or just forget about it because I'm tired. I'm doing some blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it happened. I met someone, things were going on, and then that's exactly I said I wanted. That was when we got engaged, you know. In fact, the funny thing is, I told God that I wanted to get proposed to on December 31st of this year. So the person would say, you know, I can't enter the new year without you. And as it will happen, because, you know, I feel like God has a sense of humor sometimes. It wasn't on the 34th. It was on the 1st of January of that particular. I was like, it's here. This is what I want. This thing is aligning. It's exactly as I prayed it would be. You know, so when things started going south, and, you know, it wasn't that the person did anything bad, or I just wasn't having this peace, you know. I just felt like, no, this is not the time or something. And it seemed confusing, because actually, well, we were the one that laid out terms and conditions and said X, Y, Z must happen, Y, H, you know, everything. So, but then it never eventually did happen, you know, and it took a while. You know, I would question God. I think there was someone that asked me a question then. The person wasn't, like, she's a Christian, but she's not very strong. You know, so she was like, she said in a mocking way anyway, she was like, sure, you did not hear God when you wanted to enter the relationship. What is it that is now, when things have gotten to this stage, that you're now saying, you did not go and pray very well, and, you know? And I felt bad, because those are some of the questions I was asking God. I said, but I prayed about this thing. I thought I had peace. I thought you were telling me to go into this relationship. So why is everything scattering now? Why didn't it even scatter before this Eleni buy ring and everything? Because I actually did feel like a bad person having to make that decision then, you know. But it was the right decision for me. And I could have gone ahead, even though I felt like I didn't really have the peace and everything. Like I said, it wasn't a bad person. It would probably have worked out in some way. It may not have scattered. It may have been good. It may have been okay. But, you know, it was like there was still so much I needed to learn. So looking at my progress between that time when the old thing scattered and the next time I would get engaged, I could see how much I had grown. I could see how better prepared I was. Even though now I still struggle. So imagine if it was back then. I don't know how, because sometimes I just look at myself like, imagine if I didn't have that few years of grace again to learn, to grow, to, you know. And a funny thing was, it was even after then that I published Sour Grapes, you know. I'm not saying that if I was married, I may not have been able to publish Sour Grapes. But the truth is that when you get married, there are some things that you may need to put on hold. Not because your partner is not encouraged, not because, but like there are priorities. There are things that just come in the way. Maybe right now, if you are planning towards a particular goal, and until that goal is realized, you cannot now say you want to bring in, you know, you're no longer thinking for yourself.
Hello.
You're thinking two persons. Yeah. So whatever you are thinking, yes, you're thinking, oh, how is it going to affect us in the long run? How is it going to, things like that? You know, so I had to get to a point where I wasn't so obsessed, because I think that was what had happened to me. I was like obsessed with you. I must get married. Right. And I had, like, literally just let go and say, you know what? Okay, what if marriage never happens for me? I had to get to that point. What if I never, would it be the end of the world? Would it mean that God is a bad God? No. God is still good regardless, you know. So I have to ask myself those deep questions. I have to get the answers to them. I say, okay, what if marriage is not even in my destiny, or it's not in my future, or something like that? Would that be totally bad? You know, would I find fulfillment by myself and with myself without, you know? So, and really when I got to that point, and I was just like, okay, you know, I just want to live my life, pursue my goals, enjoy myself. You know, I was just focusing, trying to see what do I need to do, get myself busy, really, and things like that. And then just let it go and be like, oh, God, is you that has the final say, whichever one you say. So now I'm no longer dictating
what
this is the time I was doing. Exactly. And then when it was going to happen, it was just so beautiful. And then it's just like when you now see that, God is like, God was telling me that I had better plans for you. I always have your back, you know. Yeah. So if you had gone there, it would have been based on what you wanted, not what I wanted for you. And you know that what God wants for us is always so much more better. So when I look at the process of how I met my husband, our friendship, our dating, the ease that came with it, you know, of course, there's no how you definitely compare in a way in your mind. You just see that, I'm so glad that it didn't happen then. I'm so glad, especially because I now had time to also grow, to mature, to develop, to understand things better, you know. So I just want to tell everyone, really, don't be anxious. Yes, there will be pressure. My mom is queen of pressure, if it's that one. Mom will tell you, then she literally told my village people were after me. I'm serious about you that wants to marry you. Some people don't have people that are dissing them. You saw somebody that proposed to you. Not doing. Is everything okay? Just telling everybody to be praying for me, you know. She was like, am I in any relationship? Am I dating? So I'm not dating anybody. For a while, I really didn't even date. I was just truly enjoying being by myself. You know, what do I want to do? What do I want to achieve? I was leveraging on my friendships, my relationships, focus about my book, my writing, you know, just developing myself. I just knew that, okay, this was the time. This was the better time. So I just want to tell anyone that probably is in that phase, don't be anxious. I know it's not easy, but because I've been there, I can really speak to it. It will happen if it is meant to happen. And when it does, it will be beautiful. So don't let anyone pressure you. You know, it's even better when you take your mind off of it. When you get to that stage where you're, it doesn't matter what happens, you know, I'm good. But when you're anxious, that's when you're liable to make mistakes. That's when you find yourself in situations where, even though you know that this is not what I want. It's not right
for me.
For me, exactly. But you're just like, let me just stay here, Jerry. There's nothing. But when you know that, as in fact, at a point, I felt like I was savage because I knew what I wanted. So if I feel like I'm with someone, we are in the talking stage, or maybe we've even started a relationship, and then you just start doing one kind, I'm so okay to walk away. That's how much I was able to build my confidence over time, to build my esteem. You know, I don't think that we are tied together at all, especially if I feel like we are not aligned. It was okay for me to be like, oh, okay, great stuff. This is how you want to play. That'd be no problem. You know, I wasn't all about the desperate, because when desperation is a really deadly thing, yeah. You know, when you're desperate, you don't see things. You just want to settle. And that's, nobody should ever have to settle. You shouldn't have to settle when God has grand plans for you.
Better plans.
You know, sorry, just in case I have people that is, you know. But the Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, the plans of God. Okay. And not of you. For a long time, this was like my favorite scripture in the world. It still is, by the way. But I love that scripture so much. It just spoke to me, let me know that, you know, if God is saying, have good plans, there's future, there's hope for you, you can hold on to all of those and just let that comfort you. Let that be your anchor, you know, when things come. So when it's looking like, look, when you look at it critically, you say, does this fit into what God says when he says, I have a good plan for you, I have good plans for you. If not, the truth is God is always speaking, you know, maybe the one that is
not listening.
Sometimes just permission, just like, okay, that's what, like, just like that time in 2018 that I was telling you about, that I gave God rules and guidelines and terms and conditions, you know.
Yeah.
So if it probably didn't happen that way, I probably have been like, oh, God is so wicked, God is so evil. But after then, I could now step back and say, you know what, you can't be dictating. You have to let God do what you want to.
Let God just
for you. And that's what I always tell people about my husband right now, that I know that this is somebody that God chose for me. I wouldn't have chosen him by myself, because by myself, in fact, when we first met, I was determined to friend zone him, because I just looked at him. No, this doesn't fit. This is, you know, when you say this is how exactly you want it to be and you don't want it to be this, you know, but it took God and he himself not giving up, opening my eyes. And then later on, I was just looking at it like, these things I was saying, I thought it wasn't it. It actually is it. You know, it was perfected at the end of the day. So, so that's just my encouragement to everyone, really, that probably in that phase where you're still single, you're wondering, how will it happen? You're wondering, will it happen for me? You know, be happy for people that it's happening. I had a friend that got married really early then. I was happy for her. I was even older than her, but I didn't begrudge it. I was really happy for her. She already had her first child. Yeah. I wasn't even in this, not stuck of getting my time, but it was okay. I was carrying godmother on my head, like, and you know, my mom then would be like, look at your friend. She has got married. She has given birth. Yes. It will happen for everybody in their own season and in their own time. So I think that's also, whatever season you find yourself in, just use you to maximize it as much as possible. When you get into the marriage itself, girl, you will still sometimes be longing for single days.
Single day.
How about just enjoying it as much as you can, and then knowing that, okay, well, when it's now time for me to transition into this another phase, then I know that that's when I have to deal with it. But don't get ahead of yourself, don't get ahead of God, and most importantly, do not settle. Yes, these are my last words.
Thank you so much. I learned a lot. Major things I learned, like, peace in a relationship is really important. You cannot, like, the world is already a lot.
and then
your relationship, and you cannot sleep at night. You are thinking, you are doing different things. So peace in your relationship is underrated, or it should not be just have peace in your relationship with majorly. Yeah. Another thing I also learned is that God's plan for you would always be beautiful. So let God just take over. Let God just take over. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for everything. Wow. I really enjoyed myself. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming to Put Start Podcast. I'm really grateful.
Thank you too. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself. I had more fun than I thought, really. So yes, thank you. This was funny.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. This podcast is available on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can also listen via my website, which is coupledstart.com. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and follow on all social media pages, which will be in the description box. See you in my next episode. Don't forget to be good, be kind, and stay beautiful or handsome as the case may be. And if you have any question, you can send it to my email address, which is coupledstart@gmail.com. I love you.